Today is the 24th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is always great to be here with you today. Today is no different. Grateful. It's great, and I am grateful to have this safe place that we kind of spin up, that we form every day as we come together for another step out of the chaos of life. Often we say, like, look, this campfire is a safe place. And there's always somebody here. No matter when we come around the campfire, it's always full, day or night, no matter when. And so we're here together right now. And we can come dragging everything in here, but why not leave it around the perimeter, whatever the chaos is, whatever the anxiety is, whatever the depression is, whatever the fear is, whatever the control is, whatever the deception is, whatever it is that we've got ourselves into. Yeah, that can stay outside. And we can come into this safe place and just allow the scriptures to come washing over us. Allow them to do their work within us. I am grateful for this safe place to be together with you today. So let's take the next step forward. We've been camping out for a while in the book of Ezekiel. We are going to conclude the book of Ezekiel today with chapters 47 and 48. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Next, he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. There, the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my ankles. Then he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my knees. He measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my waist. Again, he measured off a third of a mile, and it was a river that I could not cross on foot. For the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in. A river that could not be crossed on foot. He asked me, "Do you see this, son of man?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I had returned, I saw a very large number of trees along both sides of the riverbank. He said to me, "This water flows out to the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. When it enters the sea of foul water, the water of the sea becomes fresh. Every kind of living creature that swarms will live wherever the river flows, and there will be a huge number of fish, because this water goes there. Since the water will become fresh, there will be life everywhere the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Gleim. These will become places where nets are spread out to dry. Their fish will consist of many different kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Yet its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be left for salt. All kinds of trees providing food will grow along both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water comes from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be used for eating and their leaves for healing." This is what the Lord God says. "This is the border you will use to divide the land as an inheritance for the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph will receive 2 shares. You will inherit it in equal portions, since I swore to give it to your ancestors. So this land will fall to you as an inheritance. This is to be the border of that land. On the north side, it will extend from the Mediterranean Sea by way of Hetlon and Lebo Hamath to Zedad, Birata, and Sabraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath. As far as Hatzar Hatikon, which is on the border of Horan, So the border will run from the sea to Hatzar Innan at the border of Damascus, with the territory of Hamath to the north. This will be the northern side. On the east side, it will run between Haran and Damascus, along the Jordan between Gilead and the land of Israel. You will measure from the northern border to the eastern sea. This will be the eastern side. On the south side, it will run from Tamar to the waters of Meribath Kadesh, and on to the Brook of Egypt as far as the Mediterranean Sea. This will be the southern side. On the west side, the Mediterranean Sea will be the border, from the southern border up to a point opposite Limo Hamath. This will be the western side. You are to divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. You will allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and for the aliens residing among you, who have fathered children among you. You will treat them like native-born Israelites. Along with you, they will be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the alien resides, you will assign his inheritance there. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Now these are the names of the tribes. From the northern end along the road of Hethlon to Libo Hamath, as far as Hatzar Innan, at the northern border of Damascus, alongside Hamath and extending from the eastern side to the sea, will be Dan, one portion. Next to the territory of Dan, from the east side to the west, will be Asher, one portion. Next to the territory of Asher, from the east side to the west, will be Naphtali, one portion. Next to the territory of Naphtali, from the east side to the west, will be Manasseh, one portion. Next to the territory of Manasseh, from the east side to the west, will be Ephraim, one portion. Next to the territory of Ephraim, from the east side to the west, will be Reuben, one portion. Next to the territory of Reuben, from the east side to the west, will be Judah, one portion. Next to the territory of Judah, from the east side to the west, will be the portion you donate to the Lord, 1 1/3 miles wide, and as long as one of the tribal portions from the east side to the west. The sanctuary will be in the middle of it. The special portion you donate to the Lord will be 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. This holy donation will be set apart for the priests alone. It will be 8 1/3 miles long on the northern side, 3 1/3 miles wide on the western side, 3 1/3 miles wide on the eastern side, and 8 1/3 miles long on the southern side. The Lord's sanctuary will be in the middle of it. It is for the consecrated priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept my charge and did not go astray as the Levites did when the Israelites went astray. It will be a special donation for them out of the holy donation of the land, a most holy place adjacent to the territory of the Levites. Next to the territory of the priests, the Levites will have an area 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. The total length will be 8 1/3 miles and the width 3 1/3 miles. They must not sell or exchange any of it, and they must not transfer this choice part of the land, for it is holy to the Lord. The remaining area, 1 2/3 miles wide and 8 1/3 miles long, will be for common use by the city, for both residential and open space. The city will be in the middle of it. These are the city's measurements. 1.5 miles on the north side, 1.5 miles on the south side, 1.5 miles on the east side, and 1.5 miles on the west side. The city's open space will extend 425 feet to the north, 425 feet to the south, 425 feet to the east, and 425 feet to the west. The remainder of the length alongside the holy donation will be 3 1/3 miles to the east and 3 1/3 miles to the west. It will run alongside the holy donation. Its produce will be food for the workers of the city. The city's workers from all the tribes of Israel will cultivate it. The entire donation will be 8 1/3 miles by 8 1/3 miles. you are to set apart the holy donation along with the city property as a square area. The remaining area on both sides of the holy donation and the city property will belong to the prince. He will own the land adjacent to the tribal portions, next to the 8 1/3 miles of the donation, as far as the eastern border, and next to the 8 1/3 miles of the donation as far as the western border. The holy donation and the sanctuary of the temple will be in the middle of it. Except for the Levitical property and the city property in the middle of the area belonging to the prince, the area between the territory of Judah and that of Benjamin will belong to the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west will be Benjamin, one portion. Next to the territory of Benjamin from the east side to the west will be Simeon, one portion. Next to the territory of Simeon from the east side to the west will be Issachar, one portion. Next to the territory of Issachar from the east side to the west will be Zebulun, one portion. Next to the territory of Zebulun from the east side to the west will be Gad, one portion. Next to the territory of Gad toward the south side, the border will run from Tamar to the waters of Meribat Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, and out to the Mediterranean Sea. This is the land you are to allot as an inheritance to Israel's tribes, and these will be their portions. This is the declaration of the Lord God. These are the exits of the city. On the north side, which measures 1.5 miles, there will be 3 gates facing north, the gates of the city being named for the tribes of Israel. 1, the gate of Reuben, 1, the gate of Judah, and 1, the gate of Levi. On the east side, which is 1.5 miles, there will be 3 gates. 1, the gate of Joseph, 1, the gate of Benjamin, and 1, the gate of Dan. On the south side, which measures 1.5 miles, there will be 3 gates. 1, the gate of Simeon, 1, the gate of Issachar, and 1, the gate of Zebulun. On the west side, which is 1.5 miles, there will be 3 gates. 1, the gate of Gad, 1, the gate of Asher, and 1, the gate of Naphtali. The perimeter of the city will be 6 miles, and the name of the city from that day on will be The Lord Is There. First Peter 2:11-3:7. Dear friends, I urge you, as stranger and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Submit as free people, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as God's slaves. Honor everyone. Love the brothers and sisters. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Household slaves, submit to your masters with all reverence, not only to the good and gentle ones, but also to the cruel. For it brings favor if, because of a consciousness of God, someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you do wrong and are beaten, you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, this brings favor with God. For you were called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live when they observe your pure, reverent lives. Don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also adorned themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Psalm 119, 49 through 64. Zion. Remember your word to your servants. You have given me hope through it. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise has given me life. The arrogant constantly ridicule me, but I do not turn away from your instruction. Lord, I remember your judgments from long ago and find comfort. Fury seizes me because of the wicked who reject your instruction. Your statutes are the theme of my song during my earthly life. Lord, I remember your name in the night, and I obey your instruction. This is my practice. I obey your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I have sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I thought about my ways and turned my steps back to your decrees. I hurried, not hesitating, to keep your commands. Though the ropes of the wicked were wrapped around me, I did not forget your instruction. I rise at midnight to thank you for your righteous judgments. I am a friend to all who fear you, to those who keep your precepts. Lord, the earth is filled with your faithful love. Teach me your statutes. Proverbs 28, 12, and 13. When the righteous triumph, there is great rejoicing. But when the wicked come to power, people hide. The one who conceals his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Okay, so as we're moving through 1 Peter, well, today we're considering the life of character that rises above mischaracterization, like slander of character, tearing down of character, and accusation. So Just to remember, Peter is writing this letter to those who had fled persecution, who were trying to find a place of peace. And many of these people were finding themselves like on the outer edges of society because of who they were. Jews who believed in Jesus. Believers that were being stereotyped on so many levels inside the Roman Empire because they seemed like they were very strange. And so once you get a marginalized people, then all kinds of rumors start floating around. And then, man, so many of them still exist today in ancient writings that we know what people were saying about them. And so they were thought to be untrustworthy, and even worse than untrustworthy, like very, very, very strange rituals and customs. And because of the blood of Christ, believing in the blood of Christ, that was just such a strange concept. That like it was these blood oaths and all kinds of mischaracterizations. This is not such a foreign concept that we cannot understand it in the world that we live in, or in the times that we are aware of. Like even in the culture in which I live, you know, during like civil rights movements and the marginalization of our African-American brothers and sisters. So we, you know, we can understand the kind of bigotry that was being used against Christian believers in this time. Our brothers and sisters, they were facing these things because they were called Christian, and that was a label. So Peter's encouragement was for them to rise above the stereotype, like to defeat the slander with lives that just did not match up with the mischaracterization. Lives that just did not add up to what they were being accused of. Like instead of being untrustworthy, they were to be trustworthy. And any of the slanderous things that were being said would be defeated because they just weren't true. And so for Peter, this is a living witness for the gospel. And that touches everything about them, including like submitting to their local and national authorities, submitting to their employers. Peter's view was not so different than James. Faith isn't something that you speak. Faith isn't just something that you think. Faith is something that you live. And you live them even if the circumstances were very, very difficult. So Peter's like, I quote him, if you suffer for doing good and endure it with patience, that is pleasing to God. God calls you to do good, even if that means suffering. This is the example of Jesus who suffered for you. He is the example. You must follow in his steps. So Peter isn't just speaking like a hypothetical mindset about things that could happen. He was speaking to people in which these things were happening. And this went all the way into the home because many husbands and wives had become believers in Jesus, but their spouses hadn't, which would create a good generous amount of tension, which is not so different than the tension that arises in today's world. So Peter speaks into it. Wives, you should accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your life will speak to them without words. They'll be won over by looking at your life, the purity and reverence of your life. And in the same way, you husbands have to give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She might be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's new life. Treat her as you should, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So Peter is teaching a very comprehensive faith that literally touches everything about the way that we live our lives before others. And obviously the most difficult place to like consistently rise above misunderstanding is inside of our own homes. But that is ground zero for our faith. If we can live out our faith within our house, before our spouse, regardless of their response, then our hearts are shaped and aimed in the right place. Peter is bold enough to tell a husband that their prayers can be hindered if their wives are not being treated as they should be. Kind of a big deal. It's worth considering, as we've seen our faith isn't like situational or compartmentalized. It's always on. It's never off. It is always a part of our existence. It's not something that we think. It's not something that we speak only. It's something that we do. It's something that we are. It's lived out inside of our homes and outside of our homes. But if it's lived out within our homes, then it's going to spill out into everything else we touch, like by default. So may we invite the Holy Spirit. In fact, Holy Spirit, come and reveal the ways that we are simply living into the stereotype, instead of rising above and rewriting them with the truth of who we are in you, lived out in a visibly transformed life. Because we will only ever be challenged. But in that challenge is when we rise above and be who we were created to be in you. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base and where to get connected and stay connected. And to find out what's going on around here, so it's campfire story time. It's call outs for call ins. It's a little thing that we're doing between Chronological and Daily Audio Bible this year. This being our 20th year. And so we've been talking about this for a few days. And man, it's just been overwhelming. The calls and just the communication that's coming in. And it's really, really beautiful. So it's like, it's Thanksgiving week here. And so in Chronological, usually there's kind of a Thanksgiving, a gratefulness for the scriptures, for the word of God. And then Daily Audio Bible, we do like a Christmas party. And we're kind of just combining efforts this year. And with Thanksgiving here, we're just inviting everybody here in the 20th year to call in your campfire story. Like where you are and how long you've been around the campfire and what has the scriptures done in your life? What is your story in community here as we take the journey together? And so you're invited for the next few days until we start to assemble it to call in or use the app and hit the hotline button and tell your story that way. And love to hear from you. Love to hear from everybody. So what you do is dial 877-942-4253 or hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top, and leave your story there. And we will get it and we will put it all together and put it out there for all of us to kind of sit around the campfire and just hear from each other, hear each other's stories. We hear prayer requests. We hear each other's stories through prayer and encouragement every single day. This is time to kind of just sit back and maybe hear the story of how you got here, how you found this, how long you've been here, what we've walked through together as a community. And so invite you to do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what it is that we do here, creating a safe space to go through the scriptures together in community, if that is life-giving, meaningful to you, made a difference, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And both of those things probably sound familiar. I was just talking about it. So prayer request or encouragement, or right now, your campfire story can be sent in there. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Hopeful Daughter in Washington. I called a few weeks ago and asked for prayer for my adopted dad, John, who had had a heart attack. Update on him. Thank you all for your prayers. He had his procedure this morning and he is recovering well. So thank you so much for joining me in praying for him. And I just ask you to continue to pray for his recovery. I don't have an update on my biological dad, Kenny. So I would ask that you still continue to pray as he battles addiction. I miss him so much, and I just want him to know how much he's loved and missed. And when he's using, he just goes dark and disappears, and I haven't spoken or seen my dad in a long time. I'd also ask for a prayer for my husband. He is currently unemployed. I've lost count on how many interviews he has gone on, and I feel like he's pushing me away because he's just struggling with not being able to provide. And I think there's some barrier between him and Abba, and I'm just asking, I don't feel equally yoked, and we're just struggling, and I'm just asking you all to join me in praying for my husband, our soft heart and open mind, and to surrender, and also for me to just give it to God. I keep trying to do it on my own accord, and I need to just surrender him to Abba. I thank you all. I love you. I'm praying for you.
Good morning. I want to respond to a prayer request. I believe it was the gentleman's godson's mother has cancer, and it's seems like one step forward, two steps back at this point. And the child is young for losing a mother, but as he mentioned, like, we never are ready to lose our parents. Lord, just we pray for healing. I'm reminded of the father whose son is still in his wife's womb, but has trisomy, I think 18, whatever number it is, and isn't expected to come to term and live to birth. So he reminded us that of the parable of the audacious request, the audacious prayer. And so we just want to have big, bold, audacious prayers and ask for healing, complete and total healing. Whether that's through the doctors and modern medicine, or just through a miraculous touch of your spirit and the blood of Jesus, we pray for healing, Lord. Her name is Lily, and we pray and claim in the name of your son, whose blood washed us clean and by whom we can approach you. We pray for total and complete healing. In his name we pray. Amen.
Hi, family. This is Lucy in Huntsville, Alabama. I am calling to ask for prayer. I've called about this before, but just to give a little update, I have essential thrombocythemia. It is a form of bone marrow cancer when the bone marrow actually starts making too many platelets, which causes the blood to thicken and can cause me to have a heart attack or a stroke if I'm not on something that is keeping my platelets in the normal range. The medication that I have been on is the least likely to cause any bad side effects. The only side effect I do have a side effect of insomnia, which is kind of bad, and I also have eczema, but it's not like the other one that caused me to develop gastritis. That was really bad. It's unavailable from the manufacturer, and they are estimating that it will be available in January of next year. I have enough to last me for a month if I were to do the dosage the way the doctor has wanted me to do it. And what I have been doing from the doctor's direction is to draw out the dose that I need and throw away the vial when I'm done. Thankfully, the vials contain about 7 to 8 doses each. So I am going to try and stretch this out as long as I can. Just please pray that it will come available again, because I could have a heart attack or a stroke if I do not take this medication. I would really appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much.
Hi, y'all. It's Beloved on the Beach. It's been a few months since I last checked in. Please know that I'm always listening and praying for all the prayer requests. And thank you for anyone who is praying or has prayed for me and my family. We are still currently walking through job loss. It's been over a year, and it is the holiday season, so it's not a big time for companies to be looking for executive sales directors. So we are hopeful and still expectant, but we need provision and a job, so keep praying for that, please. But why I popped on today was yesterday we found out that our one daughter, who is wayward, and I've had you pray for her in the past, we found out her root core issue and why she is wayward. Unfortunately, in her early adolescence, she was molested by a family member. So it's a very, very hard and heavy day yesterday, and something we found out and had to bring to her. So she is closed off, and we need her open, we need her soft, we need deliverance. And we're just praising the Lord for knowing now and knowing what we're fighting, and we need you all to be fighting with us. So please pray for our Emma, and pray that God is working and that He is going to bring her to full restoration and healing, Lord. Please, thank you all. You don't have words. It's a very hard thing to be facing, but thankful for you all. Love you.